I'm Chuck Tomasi for the Technorama Home for Retired Software. Your old software has given you years of great service, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Now it's time to upgrade. What do you do with your old programs? If you find yourself unable to care for your old software, look to the Technorama Home for Retired Software for the trust and care of your cherished applications.
I just didn't have the hardware to support my favorite spreadsheet software, VisiCalc. The IT staff is excellent.
The Technorama Home for Retired Software is platform agnostic. We accept any media too. 3.5, 5.25, 8-inch floppies, even tape. Ask about our punch card options.
The Technorama Home for Retired Software gave me a tour of their facilities and I was convinced this is where I want my software to live out its golden years.
The Technorama Home for Retired Software. After all the years of service, your old software deserves a little TLC.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Snakes!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama! This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show number 133 for Monday, August 21st, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, I wonder how you got this far. I probably wouldn't have. If you're a returning listener, you know the agenda.
Spiel.
I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and
I am also your host, Craig Stepp.
And we are hosting this show.
We're the hostess with the mostest.
And it's going to be one of those shows, I guess.
Yeah.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got another snippet of our EAA, or Experimental Aircraft Association, adventure. We've got several bits from Snakes on a Plane. Don't worry, there's no spoilers.
Snakes!
And we've got all the news and strange stories you've come to expect as part of your Technorama diet. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
On this day in tech history for October 21st, 2006. This is October 21st. It's the 233rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 132 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1770 that James Cook formally claims Eastern Australia for Great Britain, naming it New South Wales. And in 1841, the Venetian blind is first patented in the United States by John Hampson. The organ grinder is invented on this date in 1882 by Vernon Weingarten in Dusseldorf, Germany. The first successful adding machine in the United States was patented on this date in 1888 by William Seward Burroughs. And on this date in 1972, a hot air balloon crosses the Alps for the first time. It was on this date in 1993 that NASA loses contact with the Mars Observer spacecraft. An American pioneer of electronic music, Robert Moog, died 1 year ago today.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Hubert Gautier, the French scientist and civil engineer born on this date in 1660. Also born on this date in 1665, Giacomo F. Maraldi, the French-Italian astronomer. Scottish inventor William Murdoch was born on this date in 1754. And in 1811, William Kelly, the American inventor, is born. Happy birthday also to Charles Frederick Gerhardt, the French chemist, born on this date in 1816. And German anatomist Karl Gegenbauer was born on this date in 1826. Emiliano Mercado de Toro, the world's oldest living man, was born on this date in 1891. American movie animator Friz Freleng was born on this date in 1906. And finally, Eric Goles, Chilean mathematician and computer scientist, turns 55 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for August 21st, 2006.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
We're back.
Hey, Chuck.
What?
In your birthday segment?
Yeah.
The French guy, I doubt his first name is Hubert. I think it's Hubert.
Hubert, whatever. Hubert sounds like a Linux distribution.
I'm sure some French guy's not walking around. Hey, my name's Hubert.
Hey, Hubert.
I got the
Gautier right, at least, I hope. Hey, you try getting like the French names, the Russian names, the German names, the Italian names.
Yeah, you
names.
Do pretty good.
At least I sound like I'm pretending pretty good.
Yeah, you do pretty good. I just thought that was funny. Hubert.
Hubert. Isn't Hubert that the dude who jumped around on the stairs and the coily snake would jump in?
It's Hubert.
Oh. Hubert Gautier, the French scientist and civil engineer.
And the snake's name was... I'll remember by the end of the show.
Coily.
Anyway. Was it Coily?
It was Coily.
I'm going to go verify that. Okay, guess go for it.
All right.
All your mail are belong to us.
Ooh, scared about that.
We've got an email from George Starcher related to our, what was it, the last show where we had the MD5 collisions discussion?
Yes.
And we talked about MD5 hashes and things and how we could have hashes crashes. He said, just an explanation. Hash is a one-way math function, not encryption per se. It takes a data set of variable size to a fixed size value. Due to fixed size value, you have to encounter a collision at some point, i.e. two different data inputs that result in the same output hash value. So it is perfectly conceivable because it's a fixed value. Thanks,
what?
George. It makes sense. No, it's...
Okay, yeah, I got it.
It's like taking 52 cards and trying to, you know, condense them into 10 values. Eventually, you're going to have a collision. Only
that's right.
It's MD5 hashes are a lot more values. So.
And we call that collision technorama.
I got a similar voicemail from Tim from the High Potency Music Podcast.
Okay.
Similar kind of thing, only he said it a little clearer than I did, so I should have just played that, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't real clear from the event in Wikipedia what happened. It had a link to what MD5s were and how you could generate one, and even some source code to do so, but it just... I looked at it and went, you know, okay, whatever, sounds science-y.
Hey, it was just a joke.
We also have a very interesting voicemail that came in.
Yes.
Since
right.
the last show.
This is kind of weird.
At first, I thought this was a hoax or a wrong number at best, but the more I listen to it, the better it gets. The heck was that?
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
This is IP Relay Operator 5419 with a message. Hello, Chuck. Great show, and keep it up. I enjoy the content, and in general, the show is very different to many other podcasts. Thanks, Shatura. In close in parentheses, Spartan 117. Keep it up. End of message. Thank you, IP Relay Operator 5419. Goodbye.
Thank you, IP Relay Operator 5419. We hope you enjoy the show. End of message.
End of line.
That was that goes right up there with all your mail are belong to us.
What? Is that like a phone service they used or something?
I don't know. This may be an operator who works at a call center for all I know, but glad you listen. Spread the word to all your other IP relay operators. Don't forget to tell 5418 and 5420 who sit next to you.
What are they? Are they like passing packets around? What's an IP operator, relay operator?
I don't know. They work with internet relay chat, I guess.
Here you go. Hand me another one. Hand me another one. Hand me another one. Like a bucket brigade with for packets.
I want to give a shout out to the people in the chat room. It's humming along tonight, despite the fact that we don't have our usual stream up and going.
Yeah.
We have technical difficulties tonight. We've got Michelle, hey, a.k.a. Country hey, Signs. Yes.
Tonight's show not streamed by Scott Reynolds.
We've got Captain Rootbeer again, Digital Dan, Douglas, Glenn Tolar, Kevin Devon, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Scafey, you, me, Tim Elliott, Digital Dan, did I say that? Yeah, I did, because he just jumped in. I thought I might have missed that. Zaha Doom and Zaha Norb.
Zaha Norb.
They're getting more and more creative, aren't they?
Are they?
Are they? Are they really?
Are they really, really?
Now, if you happen to be around on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, normally we would have the audio stream going, but unfortunately we don't have it this time. So
yeah, oh well. It happens.
Scott Reynolds has been working very hard on getting that up and running and fixing the page for us, but he didn't have a chance to get it this time around.
Yeah, we can tell he's working really hard.
Yeah, we tried even calling him beforehand.
Yeah, he's right. He's on call for us. I see that.
Our other usual shout-out that goes out around this time is for the listener birthday calendar, which we have on our wiki. You can go to chuckchat.com/wiki. But we've got a gap in our calendar right now. There is no birthday between this show and the next one. So if you happen to have a birthday and you're listening, happy birthday, but I can't call you out by name. If you want your name called out, just one of those fun things we do here at Technorama.
Wacky.
Wiki.
No, wacky wiki.
Now, I got to tell you, this is a lot of people in the U.S. will know about this next piece. It's one of the most annoying commercials I have ever seen. It's for a product called Head On, but they don't tell you what Head On is. They just say Head On. Apply you here. It goes like this. Head On. Apply directly to the forehead. 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 That's it. They do that four times. It's a female voice, and that's all
that's
they do.
That's marketing genius.
They show somebody putting what looks like a glue stick on their head. Yeah, a big chapstick or a glue stick on their forehead. I did learn that it's a homeopathic medicine for headaches.
Homeopathic? Is that good or bad?
It means...
I'm hey, bowing I was convicted out of that discussion. Once, but I was totally acquitted. Wait a minute.
No.
It's charged.
I find that totally annoying. So throughout the rest of the show, you may hear a Technorama version of that. We're going to take a quick break, and you'll find it annoying enough. But we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Yes, please do. Here's the kicker. We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. That's enough. That's quite enough, Artu. Oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert. So show us your editor.
Marty, we need to go back in time. 1.21 gigawatts.
Hey, I smell another intro, but here's the quote that really got me. Lipsum Aporum or whatever that is. 1.5.0.1. I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Now we're in trouble.
What kind of garbage is that?
Not many people know what it's like in the trenches. Just the few, the brave, the system administrators and IT professionals. Now, there's a podcast just for you and the battles you face every day.
Come on, boys, keep that network up.
Sarge, we need better technology now.
Incoming user complaints.
Strengthen that security on the double.
We're crashing. We're crashing. Game over, man.
Listen to In the Trenches with Kevin Devon and George Starcher at kevindevon.com. War is hell. Learn the best ways to survive.
You order the low-fat triple mocha latte.
In the Trenches.
Technorama. Just another way to stick it to the man.
And now, some more news! Yay! Woo! Our first item in this news segment is the Snakes on a Plane safety chart. This is good. This is made up like one of those airplane charts you've all seen, you know, about the oxygen mask and how to do your seatbelt.
Safety.
Where the exits
yeah,
are.
The safety stuff. Yeah.
This one has several cartoon-like panels. Here are some safety tips in the events of snakes on a plane. It's got the people all sitting happy in their seats with snakes in the aisle.
Hey, what's funny is it's even got the generic drawing of a black guy. He's bald, I may add.
Oh,
he's in a fire extinguisher on the snakes. That's pretty funny.
Must be Samuel L., hey, you think?
That's a spoiler.
We don't have any spoilers in here. No. Your snack tray may be used to trap and confuse snakes. It's got the guy folding up his snack tray. My favorite one, I think, is the one where the guy's got a snake attached to his left arm, hanging on to the forearm, and his right hand, he's pushing the attendant call button. If you suffer from a snake bite, please notify the nearest flight attendant.
Yeah. Ow, maybe I should call. That's pretty funny.
Oxygen mask can be used in the event of a panic attack. And the guy's covered, he's like, ah! Covered in snakes. So
wait a minute. Now, moving right along. New species of sea urchin found on eBay? What the?
Yes!
eBay?
News from newscientist.com. They say you can get anything on eBay, but now it seems you can even discover a new marine species. Sea urchin shells and spines are popular collector's items on eBay, but buyers began to get confused when the shells they received didn't look like anything else in their collections. Every week, I'd get collectors contacting me and asking me to identify a species, says Simon Coppard of the International Commission of Zoological Nomenclature in London. When he and colleague Hanke Schulze, independent researcher, compared similar unidentified specimens from New Caledonia in the South Pacific, with species records, they found nothing matched. Instead, they realized that people were buying and selling a new species, which they have called something horrible in Latin that I can't pronounce.
Hey, another new scientist swarm eBay looking for a new...
They are now looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot. Sasquatch has been sighted on eBay.
Apparently, this has been going on for years.
For $12.50.
I thought it was... pretty amazing.
Well, I was just watching, I'm not sure of the show, it was on the Science Channel, and they were talking about digging for bones and somewhere in Africa. And anyway, part of the area, I guess, is restricted to certain people. You have to have permits to dig for bones.
Yeah.
And they were talking about people would come up there, what do they call them? Bone poachers or something like that. And they would come and dig and basically ruin a site by taking some of the stuff, you know, digging on their own.
Oh,
so when the scientists get there, it's like, you know, we may never see other parts to this skeleton, you know, because you never know where they went. So, and he was talking about them selling it various places on the internet, and I was like, I thought about eBay. It's pretty fun.
In other news, this news item from yahoo.com, from Kenosha, Wisconsin, of all places. This might sound like a chocoholic dream, but stepping into a vat of viscous chocolate became a two-hour nightmare for a 21-year-old man Friday morning. Darman Garcia, an employee of the company that supplies chocolate ingredients, said he was pushing the chocolate down into the vat at DeBellis Corp because it was stuck. but it became loose and he slid into the hopper. After,
hey,
yeah.
Wait, I call shenanigans on this because all you guys have cheese up there and that's it. Who's doing chocolate?
Kenosha's on the border of Illinois, so.
Oh, border.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
They said that, he said that the chocolate got everywhere in his hair and his ears. And it just like, it was really nasty. It was like quicksand. They couldn't just pull him out. And it was at 110 degrees. So it was hotter than a hot tub in there for 2 hours. You'd think the guy would have passed out or something.
What do people normally keep a hot tub at? What about 100 degrees?
104 is quite warm. I could only spend about 20 minutes in a 104.
Hey, he's like, I immediately took off my shirt and shorts and pants and decided to kick back and order champagne.
Well, Technorama has a clip from Mr. Garcia. It says, after more than 2 hours in the chocolate, does he still have a taste for it? Mr. Garcia responded with this clip.
Not so much anymore.
There you have it, a Technorama exclusive.
Wow.
We are good, aren't we?
We trumped all the major media markets on that one.
We get the news that others are afraid to touch.
Yeah.
You have one first batch of Tesla motors.
Remember the Tesla motor cars that we talked about?
I remember. Tesla
coils. Those hot sports cars. No, the hot sports cars.
Oh, yeah. The electric car. Yep.
Yeah, that would go about 250 miles on a single charge, about 130 miles per hour, which is pretty impressive. Well, you know, if you think about that, wait a minute. You go 130 miles per hour, you can only drive for 2 hours and cut off.
Ooh.
But the cars are 100 grand. So, anyway, they sold them all. They had, I guess, only so many were allocated for like a first batch, so they, I guess, to create demand. Anyway, you know, wealthy stars and people that have money that just have nothing to do with, they threw it out there and got enough cars. They bought these cars. So, and I think the co-founders of Google are actually one of those people that jumped in on it. It's a cool car. I don't know.
We'll just have to find out.
Just think it's funny. You drive for a good couple hours. All right, pull over. Let's charge. Oh, man.
All right, should we do some hacks and strange stories?
Let's do hacks and strange stories.
Back off. Apply directly to the mud flap. 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 Hacks and strange stories. Woo!
Well, then he got excited there for a minute.
He comes in, he does his job, then we kick him out.
That's right. Oh, this is amazing. A 3D street art that Runtime sent us. I've seen this before.
I've seen this before, too. It's pretty cool.
Yes, and it's definitely worth talking about again. This guy does awesome art, especially if you stand in the right place for the right perspective. It really looks like you're looking down in a hole. I think there's a couple of pictures on here where you can see from a wrong perspective, and you can, it totally looks funny and stretched out. But this is awesome. Some of this art, this guy does awesome work.
I have not seen these specific pictures before, but yeah, he does do a good job. And I don't know how you would. Do you take a picture and then sketch the outline, or use a projector, or does he just do this off intuition? I'd love to see the process happen. You know, where does he start? Because you can't draw a perspective shot like that flat. You know,
no, that's what I'm saying. If you're standing in the wrong spot, it looks funny. I mean, right. It looks stretched out. But you know, I imagine that he would have to practice at drawing these things without seeing the images so much as the shapes and everything in the wrong perspective.
Well, that's true.
To get used to making something like that, and he's even got it blended into the. Whatever the material is on the sidewalk, like the blocks. Like I'm looking at the one that's yellow with looks like a bowl, people are all hanging in it and stuff.
Yep.
Well, if you look at it, it looks like the blocks blend into what he's drawn, and it's awesome. It's amazing.
We also have an image of an Ethernet skateboard, which I thought was kind of interesting.
You know, back in the 70s, I thought this was awesome.
Well, you would have thought those were phone jack cables or something.
Dude, what do you got these phone cords on here for?
It's a regular skateboard, and somebody did a three-layer image silk screen with some RJ45 cables on it.
I mean, it's cool. Not real technical and hacky, but hey, it's cool. It looks great.
It's technology and skateboards. Yeah. That's Technorama material, right?
Sure. Okay, stretch. Okay.
We also have, speaking of stretch, we also have a link to the zombie preparedness kit. Now, I've heard of hurricane preparedness kits, earthquake preparedness kits, tornado preparedness kits. What is a zombie preparedness kit?
Dude, you just never know. You may need one of these.
Explain.
It's a shadow box with glass on it that says, in case of zombies, break glass.
And what's
it's
got in a nice the glass?
Shotgun with four shells.
What if you have five zombies?
Run.
Hit them with the butt of the gun.
You can pull one of those Davy Crockett things and shoot the rock and kill two birds with one stone.
Now, I have not had a chance to see this next video. Can you describe it for me?
The cockroach control robot? Yes. Actually, I think you should go look at it, but it's going to start playing stuff. Anyway, what it is this guy, he had taken a roach, and it's like a rather large roach, not like your normal house cockroach. I'm talking, it's like as long as your finger.
One of those big Brazilian ones, I think it is.
Yeah, and he had this Velcro stuck to it. Well, he had a machine that looked like one of those soccer robots that people were experimenting with. It's got wheels at the bottom and a cage that comes up about as, you know, shape of like R2-D2 or something. You know, like a dome, not dome, but like a trash can size thing. Anyway, at the top, he had a place where he would stick the roach on there. The roach had Velcro glued to it, so he would stick it on there. And the roach would walk across this ball and operate the robot itself. Now, what the roach was actually looking at is a set of LEDs right in front of him in a little panoramic area. So when the robot thing got too close to the wall, certain lights would light up on there, and he would stay away from it. So he was actually controlling it. You follow me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's awesome to see. It looks like he's walking around on a trackball mouse type thing. And like I said, when it gets close to the wall or an object, it would get light around that area, and he would move away from it.
Now, when you said roach controlled robot at first, the first thing that came to mind was Bender.
Yeah. What the? No, that's pretty cool. I when I saw that, I'm thinking, well, how do you cram all the electronics you need to control a roach and, inside a roach? But anyway. And speaking of Bender, somebody had put together a Bender costume that really looks pretty good. I'm sure it's not the first one out there. I'm sure somebody has done this. But if you scroll down, well, you can read how they went through and built this thing. But if you scroll down and look at the pictures, it looks like a life-size Bender. And it looks
it's a little larger than life-size.
No, I think it's about right.
Life size, he was as tall as Fry, which I would put 6 feet max. This thing looks like it's about 6'8".
I really didn't see it. I don't know. If you look at the bottom, very bottom, there's a little clip where he was on TV. It's on the Discovery Channel on something. I wish I knew what it was. I'd go try and find it and watch it. But he's walking by somebody, and he doesn't look that too far out, too tall.
Okay.
But you know what? The legs and the arms are pretty skinny. Look, you'd almost have to be Anthony Daniels to fit in that thing.
Or which one of the Olsen twins?
Either. All right. Anyway, it's cool. And he's got the angry eyes, too.
Yeah, they put the angry eyes. You'd have to make sure you have the natural gas so you can, blow flames out both ends.
And speaking of the costume, he's even got the door in the front, and he's got the... the old Fortran, and what else is the other? It's got
Mom's
the
oil.
Yeah, and some other stuff in there. Anyway, check it out.
Quick break.
Cigar. That was it. A cigar. That's it. All right.
Quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Technorama, the show that is sure to get your brain going faster than Warp 10.
There's nothing like an apple. But do you really appreciate everything that is an apple? Sure, there's the attractive outer skin, but then you get to the meat of your apple. Right down to the very core. There's a lot in there. Discover all the goodness your sweet apple can provide you. along with the occasional rotten spots, worms, and bugs. With the Typical Mac User podcast and website, go to typicalmacuser.com. Go on, take a bite. It's quite tasty.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And in the media corner, our good friend Victor Cajal, which we just played his promo. Was that coincidence? I don't think so. He went to Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane!
He's given us a review of the plane, of the movie.
What?
He gave us a review of the movie.
It's tubular and has these two extended metal thingies on the side.
Big wings. Silver.
Yeah.
So we would like to play that for you. Again, there are no spoilers in here. He's interviewing people that just happen to be coming out of the movie and ask them what they think.
Hey, you, hey!
So stick with us for a couple of minutes. We'll be right back.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah?
Would you like Did you cut me off?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
You said, by the way, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were playing the clip. Sorry.
Speak!
I was saying, he does have some clips in here from the movie.
I think he got them off the internet.
He must have.
Okay. Midtown to downtown.
Snakes on a block. Hey Chuck and Craig, it's Victor, and Craig had asked me to do a review of Snakes on a Plane, which I was going to go see this Saturday night, so I've included a little bit of a preview and audio from the movie, as well as some audience reaction after the movie, and then I give my final thoughts to what I think is exactly what I expected, a very good B-movie.
Is that our plane?
No. Every cop in Honolulu thinks it is.
Compression, an oxygen mask will automatically drop from a compartment above your seat. To start the flow of oxygen,
grab everything from the overheads under the seats and let's build a wall. Let's go!
My job is to keep LAX informed on how totally screwed we are, and then find some way to keep this mother in the sky another 2 hours. Figure that out.
Where are you going?
You know all those goddamn security scenarios we read? Well, I'm smack in the middle of one we didn't think of.
What are you talking about?
Eddie Kim somehow managed to fill the plane with poisonous snakes.
Well, what kind of insane plan is that? He can't possibly guarantee that the snakes are going to get to Sean.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to guarantee it if he brings the whole plane down.
We have to suck out the poison.
Man, I just fucking left.
Okay, I'll do it.
What?
Do you remember the first thing I ever said to you?
Yes.
So what was the first thing I ever said to you?
I know, but things have changed.
What was the first thing I said to you?
Things have changed. You have a whole plane full of snakes. God, do as they say you live.
Nothing's changed. Weapons, where do they have weapons? Where's the silverware?
Well, we don't have any silverware. All we have is this.
Sporks.
Sporks.
More than you expected or less?
More, definitely more.
All right, I thought it was pretty good too. How about you guys? Did you guys like the movie?
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
Was it scary?
Somewhat. At some points.
Better than you thought or worse?
No.
I like the ending. The ending was, didn't catch, you didn't see it catch the bad guy, so.
That was good. Can I ask you guys, what did you guys think of the movie?
It was good.
Real good.
Better than you thought or worse?
Better.
All right, so you recommend it to people? Should they come out and see it?
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, there's a good recommendation. Scary.
It was absolutely hilarious.
Do you think it's going to hold up to cult status like Rocky Horror, Clockwork Orange?
You know what? I don't know, but I think that it was for the moment. It was really fun. And
yeah. How's Samuel? Anyways, Chuck and Craig, I know we had a good time. I was here with my friend Sean. Sean, what'd you think, man, now that things are calming down?
I thought it was great. I thought it was worth the money. I thought it was exactly what I expected.
Yeah, Sean and I, we knew we were coming to a B-movie to see Samuel and the rest of the crew do exactly what you would expect in this kind of movie. If you saw the Poseidon Adventure, if you saw any of the airplane movies in the 70s, it's that kind of vibe, but a lot scarier, dudes. Yeah. There were some pretty scary moments, huh? All right, guys. That's it. Thanks. Bye.
Back up. Apply directly to the server. 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 Thanks, Victor.
Hey, I can see it now. Sir, is that a recording device?
Hey, that sounds like your Star Wars 3 thing.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir, is that a recording device? No.
You'll have to come with me.
Yeah.
Mama.
Man, we hadn't heard that in a long time. It was pretty good.
So, did you see the movie?
No. And you know what? I tried my best to talk my brother-in-law into going. He's like, come on, man. It's called Snakes on a Plane. Psh. I was like, he said, I bet I can find a better way to spend $8. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, it's going to be cool. Trust me.
Samuel Jackson, man.
No, he starts telling me, well, I trusted you and we went and saw Superman Returns. I'm like, dude, don't even go there. He didn't like it. I liked it.
Don't take him to any more movies. I'm just going to have to fly down there and watch movies with you, Craig.
Yeah, come on.
The only way we're going to get anything done around here.
I've been waiting.
All right, real quick break. We'll be right back with our next installment from EAA.
The Honda tent.
Faster at typing than a bullet. More powerful at debugging code than a locomotive. Able to leak tall servers at a single bound. Yes, it's Super Geek. Starring Craig Stepp as the Man of Code, and Chuck Chet as the tenacious reporter, Jimmy Eldap. Make sure you catch the next exciting episode by tuning in to Technorama, a Friends in Tech production.
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Steve!
Chuck!
Where are we?
We're still at the EAA. We are now in the Honda tent and avoiding the downpour that just interrupted our little air show.
We were watching the stunt planes. There were a couple of biplanes with their smoke trails doing some nice stunts. And then a purplish single wing plane that was going backwards and forwards and upside down and tail slides and sideways.
Yeah, and then it was just incredible. It did a complete stall in the air and stayed in position for, what would you say, 20 seconds or so? It did not move. It was inverted and just hanging in air. It was really wild.
I have gone through about 900 pictures today, just rattling them off on rapid shutter exposure with the telephoto lens. So out of those 900, I should have about four that actually look good. It was cool because in one part of the sky, when the planes were coming at you, it was very light background, so the smoke trails looked dark. Then when they're right in front of you, they'd have good backlighting, and the background was all dark, so the smoke trails just lit up like they were white. And then as they flew a little further, the sky was blue. So, interesting shots. They're battening down the hatches on this tent. This is more than just a, like, pup tent.
Yeah, we've got steel beams holding. This is up the Honda corporate tent. We've got Marine. We've got motorcycles. watercraft, and also the Honda Jet is here. They're developing a new private jet, Honda powered by their own engine division, and they designed the whole airplane. So they've got the whole gamut here. Good place to hide out rather than the hard structures that we were in before, but hopefully we'll let this thing blow over and be able to look at some more cool stunt shows and some warbirds too. And there were a couple of passes by two P-51s, a P-38, and an F-16 in trail in a diamond formation. Kind of funny to watch those. Two P-51s flanking the P-38 in the center, and then the F-16 in the back. Looked like it was just in stall mode trying to stay behind these old World War II planes.
He was really nose up on that thing. I thought he was going to fall out of the sky, and you could probably just hear the P-38 pilot going, "Come on, laddie, hold together just a little bit more."
Yeah, she was creaking, but yeah, it was a really cool show. And then they had the P-51s doing a missing man, and then typical parachutists coming in, big flags dangling underneath them. Pretty nice show here. So good way to start out. A little hard rain here to clean things out, and then we'll jump back at it.
A little hard rain. I don't know if you can hear that.
Huh?
You'd swear there were helicopters flying right above the tent. It's blowing in hard. We started at the flight line, and we started running, probably it's a quarter mile back to the exhibit hall that we were trying to get to and talk to Steve's friend Mark. And didn't quite make it, so we took shelter under the DC-3 wing and then realized that wasn't a good idea, and they made a dash for the Honda tent, which is where we are now. And there's blue sky off to the south of us. And it is just coming down in buckets. Yep. Blue sky. And they had said 40% chance of severe thunderstorms with damaging winds. Possible hail, if I remember the forecast right.
Hail, you say?
Hail, no. Yeah. But we were hedging our bets, and we kind of lost on this one. But again, it shouldn't last long. Beautiful day. And when it clears up, we'll go back out and get more audio. Sammy, you look a little wet. And she runs away from the microphone. She will not be on this podcast. All right, we'll be back in a bit.
Blow up. Apply directly to the Dell laptop. Blow up. Apply directly to the Dell laptop. Blow up. Apply directly to the Dell laptop. Blow up. Apply directly to the Dell laptop.
Shh. 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 Shut up. Shh. This is my favorite part of the show. It's the Geek Library.
Well, what do you think of my new Geek Library bumper?
I think it's pretty good. I like it.
Did you have a good time at the rainstorm?
Yeah. You know, on this end of the Skype conference, it does sound like static, but I knew it was rain. I was like, man, that's some heavy rain.
We just have one thing in the Geek Library this time, and that is learn languages for free. It's a link to fsi-language-courses.com. where you can learn several languages. Apparently, this is the audio portion of what should be an audio-visual presentation, because they reference some sort of slides or something from time to time in these. I started going through the Chinese one.
Yeah, and you know what? I put this in there because I saw that it was a Chinese one, or in here, or the Cantonese. I think you said you wanted to learn Mandarin, right?
Mandarin, yeah.
Right.
And
I'm Mandarin orange, man.
The first one... it will totally blow you away if you have never learned anything about Chinese, which I have not. That just the way you say the words means different. It's as different as us putting different letters on the words.
Oh, yeah.
The way they say ma, ma, ma.
Well, you know, I worked for some people that were from China, and they actually owned a computer company here. Imagine that. And they were great people out of the office, but their work ethic wasn't that great. But at any rate, they taught me some Chinese things, which I cannot repeat here, but it is kind of funny to say. And they kept laughing at me at some of the things. I'm like, okay, what did I say?
Oh, yeah, because if you don't get the tone right, you're not saying the right words to them.
No, truth is, I think they taught me something and told me it was something else. So well, that wouldn't help either.
The way you say, one way you could say it is mother, the other is horse. Just the way you say the word. So that's enough to scare you out of the language right there.
And those are two you don't want to get confused.
Maybe. That takes us to the end of the show. I need to make a special announcement. If you go back and listen to On This Day in Tech History, one of the items in there was bogus. I'm going to let you, the listener, try and figure out which one.
We're not talking about Hubert, right?
No, it wasn't Hubert.
All right.
That one was real. I'll give you that one, so you can rule that out. Could be a birthday, could be an event, but one of the things was made up. You have to figure out which one it was.
Imagine that.
We will not be doing a show on Wednesday per our regular schedule, to be released on Thursday. Our next show will be a special interview with the professor of computer science at Harvard, Matt Welsh. He came up with a little device to help seismologists monitor volcanoes. So our next show will be a special interview with him.
And it's hot.
It'll just blow you away. Wait, that line's already
been
used.
It's smoking. Okay.
He does have some great stories in there about how he developed and tested and some really horrifying stories of what happened. But we'll leave that to you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get a hold of us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. We'd love to get some audio feedback from you that way. Or if you want to record it on your own computer, email it to us or send us conventional email, chuck@chuckchat.com. Craig is K-R-E-G, that's 1-G, at chuckchat.com. Yes. There's always the website for all the glorious forum swag, webcam, mail list,
Let me emphasize glorious. You must check it out firsthand to find out.
Glorious as in the Klingon kind of glorious.
Glorious.
Chuckchat.com is where you can find all that. Don't forget, you want to visit the website or use an aggregator, a news aggregator. iTunes won't get you all this stuff, but Marv has been doing an awesome job keeping the site filled with content between shows. In fact, some of the content for this show came from Marv's contributions. So if you want to catch all that stuff, either go to the website or put the feed that's on the site where it says RSS 2.0, put that in your aggregator, and you will be all set for the next life.
That's right. All the information you need.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com.
Hey, you ever seen one of those posters that says, I learned everything I need to know about life from Star Trek?
I thought it was in kindergarten, but go ahead.
No. I was going to say visit the website for all that good stuff.
Audio streaming would normally have been provided by Scott Reynolds, but he was nowhere to be found tonight. Chat room from freenode.net. Music for various backgrounds by General Fuzz. And if you're getting this show directly from the website by clicking on it, hey, you know there's an easier way. You can get it automatically delivered to you for free. If you're not sure how to do that, send us an email. We'll tell you how.
That's right.
Tell a friend about Technorama, and we always give you a binary high five at the end of every show for free. Now.
Oh, that's my cue. 101.
Thanks for listening.
Later.
Shut up. Apply directly to the podcast. Shut up. Apply directly to the podcast. Shut up. Apply directly to the podcast. Shut up. Apply directly to the podcast.